Waiting for something or just occupying? Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3:21. Greetings to the saints scattered through the nations. Well, thank heaven we now know who the Antichrist is. So let's party. What more could we want? Worth waiting for, was it? We got the right one this time, do we? Well, don't think about salvation if you're anywhere down any of these fantastically crooked roads, folks. Don't even think about it. If you're Christ's called out and still interested in the sideshows featuring our false prophets, you need a heavy dose of repentance and refocus while there's still time. How about right now? Today? The season is changing. I said it for years, more ways from Sunday. Judgment was beginning upon the wicked world. However, we were bombarded by buts. Yeah, buts. There weren't many of right mind or heart to accept absolutes without extra prophetic hype and a carnival atmosphere that came with it. And then it became something else. A lie, just like it is today. It was always an absolute of God's word followed by a but. Not good. The buts even stuck with many who had come out of the tear barns of Christianity. Tricky business, this narrow way, isn't it? Dangerous if we don't let go completely in favor of our singular spiritual calling. We have to discern and sift the meaning of but at every turn. We can't seem to stop at the end of God's absolutes. We must add a but and open the door to refashioning God's word to fit our itch. Not good again. Well, as all the spaces of the globe are now being filled in with trials of poverty, hunger, disease, death, storms, the bellicose machinations of even the commoners, it looks to me like I should whisper a few more words into the howling wind. Again, the judgment of God is rising to frightening levels with such subtlety that even the proverbial frog in the boiling water would croak an amen to it. Forget your Christian scientific prophetic nitwits, folks. Father has ordained this fast-changing paradigm of mankind and society to conveniently coincide with the arrival of a cyclic solar minimum and a planetary reduction of its magnetic field. Scientific fact. What timing, huh? Yep. Weather and climate chaos and crop failures and droughts and floods and ill-educated, diluted partisan dweebs wetting their pants over the loss of control. Well, no problem. They can all get guns and demonstrate their cranial incompetence in a revolution. Yeah, why not? When you want control, kill the competition. And oh, hey, forget your notions about who's the cause of this recent plague ravishing the earth. It's certainly not Bill and Melinda, or Dr. F, or Satan, or Mickey Mouse. They weren't around to help lay the foundations of the earth or predestinate the course of worldly events. Oh, gee, and predestinate those destined for eternal peace or eternal torment, either. Bill G. makes crappy operating systems, and now he wants to make like a benevolent god with his chips and vaccines. The emperor has no sheep's clothing as far as I can see. So who's to blame? How many years did I yell about taking our stupid questions and bellyaching about the state of affairs of planet cesspool to the grand conspirator himself? Yeah. And then when you do, without laying a curse upon yourself, grovel lower than a worm and grasp just what "nevertheless thy will be done" means. Now that truth will surely set one free, and nothing short of it. I'm so sick to death of this childish, insane rhetoric, counter-prophetic claptrap. We have a new batch of the same spirits, same business, only these have much more air flowing between their ears. It's a brand new breed of itch scratchers. Worldly conspiracies, guns, God, sacred names, misguided patriotism, self-ordained prophets, you know the drill, saints. Ad nauseam. Vessels of unrighteousness ordained to perish in flames before the real flames of eternity engulf them. I'll tell you what, the silence has taken over. That the famine of the hearing of the word finally become a reality. Are we hoping for a cessation of this global spiritual or carnal lunacy like our Christian patriots who pray for the world and this cursed nation hope for? No. It's going to wax worse and worse. Where did Jesus ever pray for the world? Where did Jesus ever pray against Rome? Where is the new covenant precedent for political rebellion and carnage? No, it didn't happen in 1776 either. Those of the dreams of glory, freedom, and peace were not of Christ. Sorry. And where is the biblical precedent for our God-given rights? When Paul told slaves who were called out and true believers to obey your masters, Ephesians 6:5, Titus 2:9, did he condone rebellion, that the slaves would free themselves by acts of disobedience or violence? I didn't think so. Wake up, sleepyheads. There is no such freedom anywhere on the planet. Sheep don't rule here. Wolves do. No matter how long it takes, there's no going back to anything resembling decency or peace in general. You might contemplate that God is showing his mercy and long-suffering by still keeping even the wolves and spiritual killers, the soul butchers, and even evil overlords around, and even keeping them prospering. Contemplate God's mercy. It leads to God's glory. It's not, his mercy's not one-sided, for the most part. Think about it. Are we waiting for a sound biblical thrashing to be visited upon the wicked? Something we can sink our teeth into? Or drive our bayonets into? Excuse me, watch the news. It's just beyond the 6 inches of 15.24 centimeters in front of our faces, saints. You know, their prosperity is a living doom. And don't laugh, though. It could have been any one of us living out a prosperous doom, but for the grace of God and his mercy. Humility, fear, and thanksgiving, saints. Humility and fear and thanks. Cool. Make no mistake, God's pendulum of mercy is swinging more toward his called out and away from the forsaken world. And continue to fear the God of creation and your salvation. It's part and parcel of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And remember 2 Corinthians 7:15, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. Does Father still remember your obedience? Hope so. Hope it hasn't worn off. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. But what shall the musings of God's saints be? We have crossed the threshold into tribulation, and this is only the beginning. And whether this seemingly perfect global storm, spiritual, political, financial, societal, cosmic, or otherwise, be only another end of empire cycle, or the final crushing blow which brings Daniel's iron mingled with clay empire to a final end and ushers in the reign of the Son of God, God's saints must be found standing, waiting, praying, occupying, and trusting in God our Father. Jesus told us that it would get so bad that if there were no intervention by heaven, absolutely no flesh would be saved. Another translation, survive. What shall this planet look like in those days? Will we make it to that terrible great event? God knows. We don't. How much longer do you have to live on this earth? Do you have an earthly tomorrow you can count on? Or by the clear power of grace and your humility, believe Christ's words regarding your tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. And for the sakes of your souls, don't be the thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The times and days now are truly perilous. 2 Timothy 3:1. Legions of humanity are truly marching off to war, and the war is not necessarily on a foreign shore. It's everywhere. It's inside us, all the way down to our neighborhoods now. That's for real, folks. Beware, though. The tidal forces of shock, fear, despair, even prepping for the coming increase of God's indignation can easily distract us away from our peace and trust in God and His Christ. We get a sense that we're running out of time to pay off the loans and the cards, and so we run headlong into impossible solutions and sleepless nights and strained relationships. Terrific. All the while forgetting the providence of God and our responsibility to God. And as I've said before, what is our responsibility to God? It is our response to His ability. Simple. And so much for our precious sanctums. Frankly, the disappearance of so many little fun and convenient things have left gaps that do indeed bother us at times. Being born, raised, and all grown up in the former world of relative peace, accessibility to amusements, goods, and services, and the ability to finance our pursuit of happiness has become a hurdle to overcome in order to keep our focus on our place as Christ's sheep. A millstone around our necks sometimes. That, when we let it all in, my brethren, is not a yoke that is easy, nor is it a burden which is light. So back the truck up and think about it and be vigilant. Of course, in the midst of the above upward climbing and acquisitions, we turned a willfully blind eye to the carnage which was always occurring across the earth in the name of democracy or socialism or religion or just plain, I want what's yours. But it was easier to forget when we were all taken up with our vain pursuits. Now our kids are murdered for their sneakers, kidnapped, abused, sold into abominable slavery. There are no sane leaders. Our cities are burning or emptying. And we're never sure we'll get a jar of peanut butter or a box of cheese nips next week at our grocery store. Nice picture, huh? Well, judgment is upon us. The patience of the saints is being hard tested, with much more to come. A lot of us are not occupying in any sense of Christ's words. We're running scared, to and fro, with the heathens. Is that a sign of an inward peace and trust in God? Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against putting in stores for future troubles and storms. How much earthly future does each of us have? What I am against is making preps such the priority that we find ourselves obsessed with our own survival. Precisely whose call is that? Does our wavering from our faith and trust in God bring him glory? Or bring us to shame? Is that a single eye? Yeah, that's in Scripture. Well, go ahead and stock up. No big deal. Even clean your ammo if you wish. But be reasonable, contemplative in the Word, and let the Spirit of Christ lead you. Not in the current general mindset fueled by delusion, panic, rage, and despair. And eventually hunger. If once we have our necessities all in and think that our ducks are all in a row, we could have them stolen or even lose our lives protecting what we have laid in store. Protecting it from the monsters that may very well be our own neighbors. Then what? Be careful. Let Father lead. Covet not. That way we won't be considered fools by the God who called us out, set us aside, and placed his precious blood on the lintels and doorposts of our temples. Okay? We were justified by his grace and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We were not made heirs to sin and death. So, the moral of this story is in his story. Remember how Jesus walked, and what he did, and what he didn't do. Simple. Occupy your place in this dead world as it has been given to you. Do not look left or right. And be safe out there. And in all things, be patient and be content. Grace be with all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.